So, Matt, I'm staying at a DoubleTree, Hilton DoubleTree in Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Which, by the way, I've been here for a day and a half, and I've gotten a lot of congratulations from UT fans for helping push their coach towards getting fired.
They like that, huh?
Yeah, they like that. No, not really, but they're not. They were very nice, actually, about the victory, some of the folks I work with here. But I ate the cookie, Matt. I just ate the DoubleTree cookie. It was delicious.
Oh, the DoubleTree cookie is a winner. The DoubleTree cookie is always a winner.
Yeah, it was delicious. It was quite good. Anyway, that's not really the point here. We're not here to talk about hotel cookies or the fact that it feels like 105 today in Memphis. Hot, man. Very hot.
Sounds nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm from Houston. I'm so used to this hot and humid.
It's like 4,000 degrees here. Actually, we're about to get dumped on in rain.
Yeah, of course you are. Of course you are. Because it's, you know, you're wet and humid there all the time.
All the time.
All the time. That's not true, right? You're humid all the time. You're not wet all the time.
Yeah, but when you're humid, when you're this humid, you're wet all the time.
But in the winter,
you go outside and you immediately start to sweat.
Not in the winter, though.
What is this winter you speak of?
Interesting. Well, we had. Let's just jump right in to the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
Our first one is a non-football related question from Mr. Gary Payne. That's at FastBreakGP on Twitter. He says, "If Rambo Last Blood wasn't rated R, would you see it in theaters?" So let's answer that. He's got a subsequent kind of football-related question. Matt?
Not a big Rambo guy.
First Blood is one of the most amazing films ever, maybe.
I feel like that's hyperbole.
It's not. It's such a good movie. Sylvester Stallone, says, five words in the whole movie. That's hyperbole. It's really good. Is it Brian Dennehy? Isn't he the bad guy? He's such a bad guy.
I think so.
So good. You hate him. No, it's like Rocky One. They got ridiculous after the Rambo movies gotten progressively more over the top. But the first one is actually a really tight action film. With some he's a Vietnam War vet. I mean, there's some political subtones to it. No? You're not feeling it?
I feel like the advertisements for Last Blood make it look like Rambo in Taken.
Well, it kind of is, probably, Rambo in Taken. That's a problem? Why is that a problem?
We already made that movie and its sequel. I think we're good.
Well, they're also talking about a Taken TV series.
Oh, geez.
About the younger Liam Neeson character. So,
oh boy, an origin story on Taken.
Of course, you have to have that. That was a given. That was going to happen. It was a successful franchise, so you got to try to increase your stuff, your monies. But what I don't understand, Gary, is why you think the rating would stop me. Has my joke about me not seeing R-rated movies have you think he's taking that seriously, or is he coming back to me with sarcasm?
I think he's playing in the joke. He's playing in the joke.
Which I've never seen one, so that makes sense that he would say that.
Because you don't even know what that means.
Yeah, yeah. I did not see John Wick 3 in theaters.
Nope.
While
you didn't do that.
I wouldn't
do that. That's not a thing that you did.
It's not something I would do. Quite honestly, I usually don't know what they're rated. Is that bad? That's probably bad. Matt's like, I am staying. Matt's
You're
like,
you're asking my opinion.
Beep, beep.
Leaving this one alone.
Beep. Not discussing this.
Not going on the record here.
Not going on the record. That's good. That's smart. All right. So the rest of his question was, what are some of your feelings about the electric slide in the locker room in 2019 as a celebratory dance after beating a ranked opponent at home? Thumbs up from Adam. I'm sure. Hey. I feel like Gary's picking on me here. Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag painbag. Matt, the electric slide, you pro or anti?
I have the same feelings about the electric slide in 2019 as I had in 1996.
Boogie woogie woogie?
Not doing it. I have no problem with other people do it. That's great. Good times, guys. They looked like they were having a great time. They can do whatever they want.
It doesn't matter. Dance.
They just beat USC. Kalani's getting into it with them. They're having a great time celebrating a great win.
Put on hammer pants. Whatever.
I feel like that's over the top. Hammer pants unnecessary. This is the electric slide.
I'm pretty sure hammer pants are never unnecessary. I'm wearing some right now.
How does that go? How does the electric slide go?
I just know the boogie woogie woogie. I don't know how the rest of it goes. I've done it. I mean, I'll be honest, I've done it.
Oh, I think who's not done the electric slide? Stop it. Everybody's done the electric slide.
At a wedding. Don't start with this.
I'm too cool for the electric slide. I'm not saying that I've not done the electric slide. I'm just saying my feelings about it have not changed.
Fair enough. All right. Now on to football, more football-related questions. We've got two from Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney!
That's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. He says, I took my boys to the USC game. Smart decision. They are converted for life. I think that game might become their 1996 team moment. He copied you, Matt, and said, hashtag tweetbag. That would be a pretty good game to get you excited about the team, right? Overtime, beating a ranked opponent. Finally, we win at home, which has been kind of an issue the last few seasons against good opponents. So pretty awesome. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, this is like the A&M win in 1996. It's a big deal. Big deal.
He tweeted at us, BYU football, Greg Rebell, and he said, this was a couple days ago, how many college football teams have 3 games versus P5 already? 1. 2 victories versus P5 already? 1. At least 1 true road game out of those victories? 1. Ah, I see what he's doing here.
I see what he's getting at.
Yeah.
He's building a case.
He's building a case that we're having a good season so far. It feels like he's an attorney building a case.
Is he advocating for ESPN College Game Day to come to Provo? Is that really what he's campaigning for here?
I mean, he put a hashtag College Game Day. I mean, Provo would be a cool place to do it, for sure. The problem is, obviously, they had already set up. I don't know where they're going this weekend. I haven't seen it, but they probably weren't going to come here. So it really comes down to what we have: Utah State or Boise at home.
Boise.
I keep forgetting that. So
Boise. Boise, not a state university.
And how about this? How about this? Boise's probably going to be ranked still at that point. So that seemed like the clash of the blue, but not on the blue, on the green, as it should be.
On the green gridiron. Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
That's right. That's right, they don't, Mr. Ben Stiller. All right. So this one is an email. By the way, if you want to tweet at us, it's at BYU_RiseShout. If you want to send us an email, it's riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. By the way, you probably can all hear the stupid air conditioning in this room, and I apologize.
Yeah, like are you going somewhere? Like you're in a hot air balloon?
Well, I can't turn the dang thing off, and it's 100 degrees outside. No joke. When I came in from dinner, it was 91 degrees still. But I turned this whole system off. Like, I'm thinking, do I unplug it from the wall? But that seems like probably not a good idea in a hotel room.
It will be 100 degrees in your hotel room in 15 seconds.
Yeah. So sorry.
And you'll just have to sweat it out. So let's get that thing unplugged.
What? Yeah, you sweat it out.
Like a sauna. It's good for you.
Yeah. I don't believe in saunas. I mean, I believe
you don't believe
exist.
Saunas exist. Man, you beat me to the punch.
Sorry, buddy. You're too predictable. All right. So Tim Jacobson via email. That's riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. If you want to email us, what was the R squared of the coaches versus players in the win against USC? Matt, do I need to explain to you what R squared is?
I might want to explain it for the listeners.
So basically, what's the difference?
It's a number. It's associated with regression analysis, right?
Yeah. So who had the bigger effect on that win? I'm gonna say equal, which isn't an R squared answer, but it answers the question. They had an equal effect on the run. Matt, agree or disagree with my assessment?
I disagree with your assessment. I'm gonna say that the coaches had more impact.
There's some pretty good individual efforts. Did you watch Kyrus Tonga?
I did
had
watch Kyrus
zero
Tonga.
Zero to do with that, by the way.
False.
Not zero. But
false. They did a good job of bringing him in and out of the game at the right times in order to keep him fresh.
I think they brought him in and out of the game because he's been hurt and they're trying to keep him healthy.
I think they were trying to keep him fresh.
No, I don't think so, because they didn't bring him in on key downs sometimes. So if they're no, I'm not giving the coaches credit. He blew that freaking center up. He humiliated that guy.
I think that guy went and quit football.
That guy's chances of playing on Sundays are now zero.
But you know who made himself a ton of money? Kyrus Tonga.
Oh,
he made money.
Gosh.
It may be illegal to pay him just yet, but he made himself some money on Saturday.
That was some game film. I'm just saying, I think it's 50-50, but I'd love to hear why. Why on your perspective are you giving the coaches more credit than the players for the win against USC?
They put together the perfect game plan.
Very good game plan. I don't know about perfect, but I would agree it was a heck of a game plan.
They put on both sides of the football.
Both sides.
And I think the play calling on both sides of the football was great. As vanilla or as much as we have complained about what they're doing defensively, or other people have complained about what they're doing defensively, I think Tuiaki did a really good job on Saturday of taking advantage of where he was strong, ignoring where he and not worrying about where he was weak, and playing to his strengths and sticking to his approach.
You and I talked about this last week or maybe the week before. I think halftime adjustments are overrated by fans and commentators. I think the natural football answer would have been stop with the five guys in the box thing and stop their run. Right? That would have been the natural. Well, they're averaging 5 yards a carry. We got to stop the run. And Kalani said it both at halftime in his interview as well as at the end of the game. It's Belichickian, right? They decided we are not going to let you beat us through the air. You will beat us. If you win, you're going to have to put together a game of just running the ball all day. And guess what? USC didn't have the patience to do that. There were some key downs where I thought if they run the ball, they get a first down, and they decided to throw, right? Because that's their identity. And heck, was Kalani trolling them by saying this wasn't the air raid? He was kind of trolling them a little bit, right?
Well, and I think Kalani's really sensitive to the use of the term, because he's sitting there thinking, like, why is Mike Leach getting all this credit? Because you know who taught that to Mike Leach? Do you know where Mike Leach got all those ideas?
Lavelle?
Yes.
Norm Chow?
And that is, and Kalani is, his love for LaVell Edwards is well documented and also well deserved. And I think that I think he takes it personally.
Okay, fair enough. So, all right. I buy your thing. You may have even persuaded me that the coaches did a little bit more, but there were some tremendous individual efforts. Tonga.
Oh, all over the place.
Wilson, Gunnar Romney starting to show some stuff.
Don't even get me started on Tyson.
Tyson, the offensive line, which is partially schemed too, but there were some great efforts by the offensive line. And how about picking up the blitz, Esukpa, on a couple of blitzes?
Yeah.
Like absolutely leveling linebackers coming on a blitz. It was beautiful to behold. So Tim continues, really thought this scheme on defense was effective. I think he's agreeing with you. Felt like they should have just kicked the field goal instead of going it for it on fourth that we didn't convert. Matt, what do you think about that play? I was fine with going for it. I would have, after it got stuffed on the play they didn't let happen, I probably would have changed the play on that fourth and one. But I don't have any problem with them going for it at that spot in the field. I don't think Oldroyd has a big leg. I think he has an accurate one. So I'm fine with on fourth and one, but I would put Williams at the game and try to see if I could get him to get the first down.
Yeah, I feel like they know where they're comfortable kicking it from, and while that might, in the minds of the rest of us, be a different spot, they know where they're comfortable, and they're going to stick to that.
I think on 4th and 1, I think they're confident that they can get that yard.
Yeah.
So, and then the last thing he says is, different question, do we have red zone issues, or are we good? I think we're fine.
I think we're okay. I don't know that I say we've got red zone issues now, but I'm assuming he means offensively.
Yes, yes. Defensively, we're quite good.
Yeah, so I think we're okay.
Yeah, I think we're okay. I don't think we have issues. All right, next question is from Mike Barlow. He's got two, but we'll go with just his first one. That's at Ruckus76 on Twitter. He says, at what point did you begin to feel we had a legitimate shot at winning the game on Saturday? For me, it was the 30-yard touchdown to Dax Milne in the second quarter. Beautiful pass from Zach Wilson on that one. Matt, was that the point for you, or was it different?
You know, I think it was that first touchdown on the weird play where you got Tonga in there at fullback blowing people up. I looked at that and I thought, you know what? Like, we have things in our playbook here that are going to give us a chance to win this game.
Yeah.
And the other one was Tonga's first sack right up the middle. Thought this is going to be a problem for them all day.
For me, it was kickoff. No, I'm serious. I was in it. I know I predicted it, but I started to have like these regrets of I should have stuck with my guns from the beginning of the year and said we were going to win these two games, Tennessee and USC. And I started thinking we could beat these guys. I'd watched all their two games, right? I had a good feel for them, and they aren't a great team. We could beat them at home. That's what I was thinking pre-game. And you know, there's very few games I go in feeling like we're going to definitely lose. Right. We'll talk about Saturday, whether that's one of those games here in a little bit. Todd, that's Todd and E on Twitter. Are you happier that we beat USC or that through the transitive properties of wins, we are better than Stanford? Hashtag tweetbag. Happier that we beat USC, but I do love the transitive properties of wins, and great that we're better than Stanford as well.
Yeah, but we've always been better than Stanford.
Win-win. Did you see Mike Leach talking about which Pac-12 mascot would win in a fight?
Yeah, and he glossed right over the tree. He
said,
like,
well,
the
you
tree.
Just cut it down unless there a bird comes and pecks at somebody's head. It was great. It's fantastic. He's a national treasure, Mike Leach.
He really is something special, isn't he?
He's fantastic. Sean Ritchie, that's at DrTed64 on Twitter, says, what are your thoughts on the offense and defensive play calling so far? I think Tuiaki has made some great game plans, and Grimes seems to be coming into his own as an offensive coordinator. Hashtag tweetbag. Hashtag climb on in. Hashtag why run the same play three times on fourth down? All right, Sean, there was a little dig there at the end. Matt, how do you assess the offense, the coordinator job so far in three games into the season?
Well, I think offensively, I feel like we've found the identity, right? We understand that this is the Zach Wilson, Tyson Williams show. That's what this is. It's a variety act put on by those two guys. And if we play to their strengths, I think we can win a lot of football games down the stretch. And then defensively, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, they've realized that they can get pressure on the quarterback, but they're going to have to do it up the middle instead of off of the edge. And by flushing a quarterback outside of the pocket, they're going to force the quarterback to make bad decisions. And maybe get a couple of sacks out of it, right? And Tuiaki has kind of he's figured that out, and he's going with this Belichickian approach. Now, that approach did not do well against the University of Utah, because the thing that he dared the University of Utah offense to do, they were able to do very effectively.
No, I disagree. I don't think I think he wanted them to pass in that game. The problem was their offensive line and Zach Moss are just better than our defense.
Yeah, but right? See, that's...
Sometimes
that's
you can't scheme around everything.
But that's where that approach becomes tricky, right? Is you if you're going to take something away from them, you have to choose something you can actually take away. And we were able to do that against a freshman quarterback at USC, right? We were able to do that against Tennessee, but the thing with the Utah game was you're not going to take, if you're going to take the run, if you're going to try to take something away there, taking away Zach Moss from their offense, I believe was too
personnel.
Tall of an order.
Yeah, we don't have the personnel. We have the defensive line that could do it. I don't think we have the linebacker core to do that, right? We don't have the size and speed, right, to do that. And it's the same thing that Tennessee stretch play, right? Why it killed us is because you take away Tonga in the middle. He becomes a non-factor in that play a lot of times. Not every play, but he can become a non-factor in that play, and you force our linebackers to play edge-to-edge, and it's a tough assignment for them. I think both coordinators are doing good. I think Tuiaki's a really good coordinator. I think people give him crap. I think he's actually quite good. I think Grimes, to Sean's point, is improving. We have to remember he's, what, 14 games into his 15 games into calling games, right?
Yeah, but you look at some of the things that have driven us crazy the first couple games that he didn't do last weekend, right? Get down in the red zone and, like, on third down, throw this wildcat thing in.
How about, you know, Jalen Hall pass to Zach Wilson? That was pretty sweet.
That was actually pretty sweet. Zach Wilson, you know what? Zach Wilson, I think, is going to be this is a kid we're going to talk about for a long time. I mean, it's just fun to watch him play.
Yeah, it sure is.
The other players on the team clearly respect him. He's fiery. He's not afraid. You see him getting in people's faces. You see that USC kid push him on the sidelines after he takes him out of bounds, and Zach gets right into his face. I mean, I think it's fantastic.
Did you see that it was that same guy, 21, that Tonga blocked on the touchdown? he didn't push Tonga. I didn't see him push Tonga. I'm
block
just saying.
Doesn't even capture it. I think he ate him. I think he ate him. He consumed him.
He's still blocking that guy right now.
No, they had to dig him up out of the field. He buried
him into
him
the
so
Pacific
deep.
Ocean.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was awesome. All right.
He put him up. He put that guy up in the stands to fill out the seats that the student section didn't get to.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, there have been some injuries. We talked about Tonga. I think they're limiting his snaps not just for keeping him fresh, but I think he's dealing with some injuries, which is amazing if he had that game and he's dealing with injuries, by the way.
Well, but I think it's a combination of the two, right? Like,
sure.
That's right. You put him in at just the key times that you need him, and you keep the injury from getting worse.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mike Barlow, again, says, how concerned are you with the injuries sustained on defense? And Zach Thornton at Coronado Zach on Twitter says, appears Zane is beginning another round of injuries, and with Ayu's move to backer, is the safety group capable of holding their end of the defense? Yes.
I think the defensive backfield has looked very good.
They're deep. They're good. You can. Gumwalaku, by the way, is not just playing corner. They're using him all over the place.
Right? Didn't he run in a touchdown the other day? I mean, yeah. Gumwalaku's like, he's everything, man. Right? He's a renaissance man.
They are not. And Tuiaki is not. Like, look what he did. We played two linebackers almost the entire game. We hadn't done that look all year, except on obvious passing downs and stuff. But we hadn't employed that as our base defense, five guys in the box, right? And he's not going to do that against Washington, right? It's going to be a different look. But Gumwalaku lined up as safety, corner, inside corner, outside corner. I mean, they put Gumwalaku, because of his experience and he's played all of these positions, he can go anywhere. He's Taki, but in the defensive backfield instead of in the front, right? Taki last year could do anything you want him to do. Rush it from the edge, play in the middle, and that kind of thing. It's super valuable, especially when you have the injuries. I hope Anderson's okay and he can play. He's much better to me at safety than linebacker. I thought he was too small. He's got the speed we needed, but he was getting eaten up in those first couple of games by offensive linemen. And I think he's much better at safety. So any other comments on those injuries, which we don't really know anything about because BYU doesn't talk about injuries?
Yeah, I think we're doing a pretty good job of working our way around them.
Yeah, all Satake said was nobody's been lost for the year. Very, very detailed response. Gary Payne, his second question, says, receiving core analysis 3 games in. How do you feel about the receiving core? Let's put it this way. Better, worse, or the same? And we're going to do this later, so I'll do it this way. Hot, cold, or warm? Better, worse, or the same than what you thought coming into the season?
I'm going to go with the same.
No, it's hot. You thought Micah Simon was going to be a difference maker?
No, but I thought Gunnar Romney would be hotter, right? So I think on in aggregate, I think it's about the same. Now, it's different playmakers than I was expecting, but we're about where I thought we would be.
Nah, I say we're ahead. Milne, that catch, man. Like, it was a perfect dime dropped in. The coverage was pretty good, though Milne got some separation off the line. And that catch, that's a hard catch, man. And Simon's made some really good catches. I agree with you, it's been different people. Though I think Romney's doing fine. It's been different people. Romney and Bushman are going to put up massive numbers against these terrible teams we're going to face later in the year, by the way. Because right now we're playing teams that can match up against both of them. And we will play teams later that cannot. Liberty, what's Liberty going to do against Bushman?
Yeah, they're
it's like hopeless. 11 catches, 200 yards, if he plays the whole game. All right. Let's talk about Kalani. He caught a lot of heat after the Utah game. You and I talked about how he's like 1-55 against Boise, Utah State, and Utah. So Sean Ritchie at Dr. Ted 64 says, do you think BYU needs to extend Kalani now, or is this a non-issue? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag climb on in. And Spence at Texas Coug fan says, so Kalani safe yet? Hashtag tweetback. Matt, where are we at with Kalani? You and I both thought he was safe after the Utah loss anyway. Do you extend him now? Is it just stay the course? What are your thoughts?
There's no need to extend him now, because if the reason for extending him is a recruiting problem, I think he's riding high enough right now for anybody that's looking at the program. That I think they're going to feel comfortable enough that he's going to be okay, like in this given week, right? But I think, you know, if you lose this weekend, then you got to think about what potential impact there might be there. But I think you, at this point, I think you write it out, like, because once we get past Washington, the difficulty level on the schedule changes. The number of likely wins back there is high enough that if you weren't going to do it now, I think you just wait.
Yeah, I agree with you. If you weren't already going to do it, you just wait. I mean, you might do it at some point this season, but I think you wait.
But I don't think he's going anywhere.
No. I don't think we have to worry about someone swooping in and hiring him.
And they're almost not going to fire him.
No, not in the season. I mean, the disaster that, even if we lose to Boise and Utah State later in the year, they're not going to fire him. He just beat two Power 5 teams, and he beat Wisconsin last year on the road. I get he hasn't put together a great season yet, but you can't fire a guy that's winning games against P5 teams when you say your goal is to play with and beat P5 teams, right? It's kind of counterintuitive, I guess. Daniel Smith on Facebook, and you can join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. Given that we're starting the season off 2-2, maybe even 3-1, I like your optimism, Daniel. How does your season prediction change? Well, we'll get back to that at the end of the show, Daniel. So you hold on there, buddy. All right.
Wow, way to set that up.
Yeah, that's I'm a pro, really. I'm a pro doing a podcast in a wind tunnel, so I'm definitely a pro. 100% pro move there.
Stoic. Just
yeah,
stoic.
Should I get closer to it so it really sounds like I'm like on the Weather Channel?
Sounds like you can't really get much closer to it.
calling in from a hurricane. Matt, it's getting pretty wild in here.
Are those clips where they're like holding on to street signs and then some guy just walks by in the background eating a sandwich?
Yeah. That would be me, totally. The guy eating the sandwich in the background.
Sandwiches are delicious.
Big Y, how does BYU pull off the upset against Washington this Saturday? All right, Matt, before we get into those details, BYU, I think it was earlier today, we're recording this on Tuesday night, revealed a retro end zone and retro uniforms for the game. Steve, that's at Coog Keeter. Coog Keeter? Coog Keeter? I don't know how you say that. What are your thoughts on the retro uniforms? I think they're awesome. Also, thoughts on the retro on-field throwback paint job. Hashtag tweetbag. Hashtag climb on in. Matt, you go first. Your thoughts.
I'm not sure which one of these things I like more. The throwback paint job on the field?
Fantastic.
Keep it forever.
The rest of the season.
I would keep it forever. That diamond thing in the end zone is awesome.
It's awesome. It's awesome. It's so much more exciting than what anything else we do.
And if you want to change the helmet to the regular helmet after this week, like I guess I could get behind that. But I thought it killed the grass.
What did?
I thought that's why we didn't paint the end zones anymore, is because it killed the grass.
Is it really grass? Do we even have grass anymore?
Yeah, it's real grass.
I know. Is that why?
That's the answer that's been given, I think, in the past by the grounds people. It didn't kill the grass in Neyland.
Well, does it kill the grass, the white lines that are all over the field? I'm not following.
Kills the grass, Adam. Adam, it kills the grass.
How can it kill the grass? That grass looks fine.
What did the grass do to you?
I don't care about the grass, quite frankly. I like the uniforms. They're not going to be my favorite of all time, but I like them. I like the throwback Y. You can't do the throwback Y long term because it'll be even worse. Oh, did you go to Yale? Right? But I love them. I mean, it's cool. Like, why are people hating on these uniforms? Like, you guys need more hobbies or something.
I'm about ready to order the mini helmet right now. Available on BYUstore.com.
It is available.
A little bit of free publicity.
Retro. Yeah. They should sponsor the show or something. I'd like one of those retro shirts that they have. I don't understand. Why is anyone spending their energy hating on the uniforms?
It's very strange.
It's really weird to me. You don't have to like them. I don't care if you like them. You can think they're lame, but it's
a cool throwback alternate uniform. It's cool.
Yeah,
the players are clearly, the players I've seen on Twitter are excited about it. I think it's a cool looking uniform to do the whole theme with the field and stuff. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're bringing back Detmer, Mo Eliwanibi, you know, guys that played with leather helmets. No, I guess neither of them played with leather helmets, but Eliwanibi was tough enough. He could have played with the leather helmet. And you know Detmer could have played with the leather helmet.
Detmer was pretty tough.
He was a pretty tough guy. Reference that Texas A&M game where didn't they separate both of his shoulders?
I don't know. He had like stitches in his chin.
Yeah, it was.
I think his arm fell off at one point.
Yes, I think
that. They just put it back on with some like athletic tape.
Come on, buddy!
And some chewing gum.
Yeah. A little MacGyver there. All right, so... Anyway, Jacob Evans then said, we finally get something. He says, why are people complaining about this? Is the BYU fan base just a crowd of negative Nancys? The answer is, there's a bunch of negative Nancys in every fan base.
Fact.
And every fan base have a bunch of people that believe that they are uniform designers and offensive coordinators. Every fan base.
Well, did you see this kid from Tennessee who was throwing out the BYU designs and the Twitter sphere put together a package so that they're flying this. He's a high school senior from Tennessee. You've seen this?
No.
So this kid on Twitter, I'd have to look up his handle now. Now I'm gonna have to look up his handle. He just for fun, he like puts out these designs for University of Tennessee uniforms. And just for fun, a few days ago, some BYU fan who had found him during the week we played Tennessee asked him to do a BYU one. So he did it, and he went from like 300 followers to just shy of 2,000 in like 4 days. And it was all BYU fans. So then he just started pumping out like concept uniforms. And then a group of people on Twitter, they've raised money. They're flying this kid and his family out to Provo, putting them in a hotel and taking him to the game.
What? That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a real thing. I'm a Vol fan or something. Let me look this up.
Yeah, if only you could find it. Well, that's cool.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah. They're a cool fan base. I enjoy interacting with UT fans. They even smile when I make fun of their orange. Because you know what? Almost the universal response when I say something about their orange, which actually I like the color orange, is better than Texas. That's like so, yeah. That's what the UT fans say.
So the Tennessee fan in question has on Twitter. He's I'm a Volcoogite. It's at @IM_A_VOL_AIGHT. I'm a vol I ate, but now he's added Coog in there. But yeah, he's gone from. I think he said he had like 300 followers or something before this. He said 815, and it's I'd say 1,500 of those are BYU fans, and they are legit flying him out for the Boise State game.
That
very
is
very bizarre, and for that to happen the week that we actually put out alternate uniforms, it's crazy.
That is pretty cool. I'm now looking at his designs because that's very exciting for the listeners.
But and yeah, you're talking really slow while you're doing it. It's very strange.
You're talking very slow. All right.
This is just like some random 17-year-old kid.
It's awesome.
It's weird what the internet does. It's just so weird.
By the way, the NCAA just declared him ineligible to play in college.
They probably did.
So sorry, kid. You're out. All right. How did Cal beat Washington, Matt? And then we're going to talk about BYU can beat Washington. So here are the five things Cal did to beat Washington. Simplified. Okay. They kept big plays to a minimum, or as I wrote it in the agenda, to a minimum. They kept big plays to a minimum. They reduced the passing game to just dink and dunk, which is related to the first, I realize. Not totally stupid. Third, they forced two turnovers, big, because the yardage was fairly equal. They kept Washington to field goal attempts instead of touchdowns. And they scored every time they passed the 50, they got a touchdown or a field goal, every time. Okay? So that's how Cal, not as good a team as Washington, probably not any better team than we are, beat Washington. So is that BYU's formula, or because we're a different team, and also because obviously Washington is going to be, you know, they'll probably vary things up than what they did a couple of weeks ago against Cal. Is that the way that BYU, Matt, could beat Washington on Saturday? Or is it some other way?
I think the holding them to field goals is something that we're going to have to do in order to beat Washington. And I also believe that defensively we have the personnel to do it. You know, you look at if you look at statistically what this team has done so far this year, and it's hard because of the Cal game, I think skew things a little bit. And then after that, you don't have a lot of data. But I feel like a similar approach to what we saw in this idea of take one thing away and let them have the other. I think if you take away the passing game from these guys, I believe that we can stay in the game, keep them out of the end zone, and give ourselves a chance to win it.
So let's say this. We learn nothing with them playing Eastern Washington, right? There's no data there that's worth talking about. We learned, as I said, versus Cal, there's some things that Cal did that frustrated the UW offense. Now, let's be fair, the Cal offense didn't do a whole lot against Washington except get points when they got past the 50. But they didn't put up a ton of yards, right? They didn't have a lot of big plays or anything. And that's probably going to be true for everybody who plays Washington this year. Fair? Right?
Right.
You're not going to put up 40 points against these guys.
No. Nope.
Hawaii came in red hot, had been scoring a ton, and get absolutely demolished on both sides of the ball. So I think what we learned there is that this defense is legit. Now, are they as better or worse than Utah? I don't know. But for all intents and purposes, let's just assume they're equal to slightly better than Utah's defense. And if you need any reference, you can look at the game last year. Right. So you know, this is a team, to your point, that we're going to have to pick out how to stop their offense, knowing that our offense is probably going to be limited on Saturday, say, versus what we were able to do against USC this past weekend.
Absolutely. And by choosing to take away the pass game over the run game, you're taking away a lot of these big plays. If you look at the Hawaii game as kind of the what's probably the best set of data that you have on this team right now, you look at what they did in the first half, right? They led at half 38-7, and you look at their drives, their opening drive, three plays, 76 yards in just over a minute, culminating in a 47-yard touchdown pass. Then, you know, two drives later, they go six plays for 72 yards in 2.5 minutes, culminating in a 30-yard pass. You know, and then they've got a 37-yard scoring pass on their next possession. These are the plays that pushed them up, and then they didn't even score in the third quarter, and then in the fourth quarter they're just holding on to the football. So I think that's the stuff you've got to be able to take away from them is these big plays and make them hold the football longer early. And that's the only way, because you're not going to score. You give up 3-4 touchdowns to these guys, we're done.
Yeah, we got to keep them to 3 touchdowns or less, right? I think
that's absolutely
number.
True.
And it's a tall order, because this is a team that, you know, I think is pretty good offensively. Not as good as they are defensively. But Eason has looked good. He's completing 70% of his passes, over 8 yards per pass attempt. Now, again, that's a little skewed because Hawaii's defense isn't very good, and they played Eastern Washington, right? But he had a pretty good game against Cal. He was solid, if not spectacular. He is the best quarterback we'll have played this year. I don't think he's the best quarterback we will play, but he is the best quarterback we've played so far. We've benefited from pretty mediocre quarterback performances. Now, that's related, right? Because, you know, obviously we did a pretty good job against that USC kid that lit up Stanford the week before. Did I mention that we shut down and got 3 interceptions from a quarterback that lit up Stanford the week before?
Huh. Yeah, I think we did. Pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. So what else needs to happen on Saturday for a Washington victory?
Well, I have the same concern against Washington as I had against USC, and that is if you look at the size and speed of their receiving core. Their leading receiver is Hunter Bryant, this tight end, and he's coming in at 6'2", 240 pounds. I mean, he's not super tall, but he's a big guy, and they can use him to create some matchups. And then, you know, you've got this Aaron Fuller is not a super big guy either, but he's catching the ball, and he's a lot. And he's for big gains. He's averaging 13 yards a catch. And Andre Baselia, also not a real big guy, but averaging, you know, 12.5 yards a catch. And so they've got three of these guys that they can throw to, whereas the USC receivers, I felt like I was worried that they were too big and too physical. These guys are just getting open, and it's giving their quarterback multiple options to run through to throw the football to. And so that, we've got to be able to combat that. And if we can take the pass game away and force these guys to run the football to win, that's where we have a shot here.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, that 5-in-the-box game is not going to work against these running backs. I agree with you that we got to concentrate on the pass game and take that away and make Eason a dink and dunker, but we cannot play 5-in-the-box because their two top running backs are each averaging over 5 yards per carry. And it's a pretty good 1-2 punch. But yes, I agree with you. I think there are some matchups that favor us. They do not have a guy like, oh, what's his face against USC that did all the offensive pass interfering. He's good, right? That catch he made, whether he was by rule, I think he was forced out of bounds. Unfortunately, I believe the rule is if they're engaged, that means he's not out of bounds. The problem was the obvious pass interference to catch the touchdown. But what a freaking catch, man.
Right? It was a good catch. A lot of good concentration, whatever. I mean, it wasn't a catch, but great.
I'm going to tear Gunwalaku to the ground and still catch the football, right? That's physically impressive. I don't know if Washington has anybody to the level of their top two wide receivers, USC. But they do have, like you said, a very solid tight end who's leading them in receptions, a couple of other good guys. But that's why I think we can shut down their passing game. I think we can pull this off.
I think we have the size. We got to hit these guys on the line of scrimmage, these two smaller receivers. I think we have the size to do that. I also, coming back to your comment about, you know, we're not going to do this with 5 guys in the box. They have not seen 3 down linemen like they're about to so far this season. They just haven't. Eastern Washington doesn't have that. Cal doesn't have it, and neither does Hawaii. They've not seen anything like Kyrese Tonga coming at them. I think we have more weapons there against the run game than you're realizing.
The Mahe's been solid. The nose tackle position, I mean, Tonga's in a different level, right?
Man among boys, right?
That nose tackle position for us is a disruptive force. And I know people are like looking at stats like, I read this, gosh, bloggers are dumb, man, sometimes. I read this Trojan blogger on SB Nation, and he said that all of the USC defensive line was better than the BYU defensive line. You know what he based that on? Tackles and sacks. You cannot evaluate a nose tackle on any statistics.
That's just silly.
And to think that Tonga wasn't on his list, like he had four USC guys listed above any of the BYU guys. And after watching that game, I think we had at least the two best defensive linemen on the field.
Maybe
at least
three. Their defensive line wasn't, I wasn't particularly impressed.
They were fine, but I mean, they're not Utah's, right? Would you put them up against Utah's?
I think Utah's defensive line's better than theirs. I don't even know that you could make an interesting argument out of that.
What about Washington? We're about to play a defensive line that's way better than last week, right?
Yes.
Tonga, by the way, starts on all of these teams.
Tonga's going to start in the NFL in a year.
Yeah. He's had quite a deal. By the way, name of the week this week from the Washington team. Not that this is a thing we do ever often, but I do it every once in a while. Chico McClatcher is a wide receiver. Chico McClatcher. That is awesome. That's a terrific name. Okay, so Matt,
I hope he doesn't catch a single pass.
Matt, prediction time. Who you got? They're favored by what, 7.5?
Last I saw was 6.5. Let me come back.
6.5. All right, so 6.5 is the spread. You got the points or the Cougars?
You know what I'm doing here?
Oh, no.
I'm taking the Cougs.
You're taking the Cougs. All right, we're going to see here a second. Are you taking the Cougs to win? And by the way, I'm taking Washington. I'm taking the points. Are you taking the Cougs to win, or are you taking Washington to win, but just not cover?
I'm taking the Cougs to win, baby.
What?
Yeah!
Oh, my gosh. You overreact to everything.
Of course I do.
You're such an overreactor. I'm staying the course.
Listen,
I should have done it last week.
We just laid out the formula, and I think we can pull this off.
I think we can. Yeah, I agree. I think we can. But I'm going to say 28-18 for Washington. I think we hang with them, but in the end, we just can't create enough offense to beat them. And I believe we have, two turnovers to their one or two.
So what did you say your final score was? 28-18?
28-18.
So you're taking the under on 50.
I'm definitely taking the under on 50. This is two teams whose best units are defense. Why would it be 50?
The only way we win this game is if it's under 50 points.
For sure.
And they can't score three touchdowns.
Correct.
So I'm predicting a 21-17 win for BYU.
Cool. All right. I hope you're right, man. Hope you're right. Finally, you don't hate the Cougars. So, Matt, we're going to finish off with a quick game called Hot, Cold, or Warm. So, you're going to look at the teams we have to play after Washington. And you're going to tell me hot, cold, or warm. Hot means they are more dangerous than we thought. Cold means they're less dangerous than we thought. And warm means they're exactly who we thought they were.
They are who we thought we were. They are who we thought they were. Whatever he said.
Yeah, whatever he said. Dennis Green, right? That was Dennis Green?
Yeah. Go ahead and crown him.
Crown him. All right, here we go. Toledo. 1-1 Toledo.
Cold.
Cold, right? Cold.
They are less dangerous than I thought they were.
Less dangerous than we thought.
And I...
1-2 South Florida. Less. Cold. Cold.
Yeah, cold. That's cold. That's cold pizza.
3-0 Boise State.
Hot.
I thought they might regress this year. They do not show signs of regressing. 1-1 Utah State.
I'm going to go with warm here.
Warm. And it's really hard after two games to know what you got. I think we'll know better.
Yeah, we have to massively overreact to very little information. That's what September in college football and the NFL, right, for that matter, is all about. Unless you're the Jets, in which case you're a dumpster fire. You're like four quarterbacks deep. It's over.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. I love the Jets. All right. 1-2 Liberty.
I'm going to go with cold Totina's pizza. Like, if they are cold, but they're, it's going to be delicious.
They're terrible, but we thought they were going to be terrible, right?
Yeah, but so this warm is pretty bad.
Yeah, that's true. They're pretty bad. 1-1 Idaho State. Warm. Who cares?
Warm.
0-3 UMass.
Zoinks. Cold.
Cold. They're even worse than we thought they were going to be, and we thought they were going to be terrible. So.
Yeah, it's awful and great at the same time.
3-0 San Diego State.
I'm going to go warm there.
Warm. They are, in the back half of our schedule, the only threat, right? In those last four games, we are going to destroy Liberty, Idaho State, of course, and UMass. San Diego State is a threat. I think we're a better team. I think we'll beat them. But they are not a team, as much as I would love to say that they're terrible because they're San Diego State, they are not a team we can overlook. So, Matt, I think this season is going to play out exactly like I said it would. I am Nostradamus.
Oh, geez.
2-2 to start, lost to Boise, beat Utah State, that's it. 3 losses, 9-3 going into the bowl game.
So are we ranked at the end of the year?
Depends on... Yes. Going to the bowl game, we're ranked. Yes. We'll be like in the 20s or... Yeah, in the 20s. Because the problem for us is going to be... the knock is going to be we got beat by... Unless USC bounces back. Say USC beats Utah.
I don't know. USC could bounce back when Urban Meyer comes in to coach them for the second half of the year.
That's not funny.
Seriously, this is the first time that Urban Meyer has ever been pleased to see BYU win.
Okay, how about Tennessee? How about if he goes and coaches Tennessee?
He's not going to Tennessee. Stop it.
That'd be fantastic, though, wouldn't it?
No, he's going to USC. Like, it's a perfect home for him.
Yeah.
But he's going to go, like... It's so cyclical for them, right? Like, he's going to go in there, great, then he's going to have to leave because he's got all sorts of violations coming out. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see. But, you know, if USC ends up being decent, say they beat Utah this Friday or whatever, then there could be something there. If we show real strong against Washington but lose, I think that helps us from a ranking standpoint. And Utah State, if they end up being pretty good, but we beat them, that helps us too, right, towards the end of the year. I think if all of the teams we beat are terrible, it doesn't mean we won't be ranked, but it reduces the chances. I mean, Tennessee's bad, right?
Yeah, they're bad. They're real bad.
They're bad. And maybe they turn it around and aren't bad, but I have some serious doubts there. So what do you think? 9-3, 8-4 at this point?
Geez, I mean, if I'm really predicting us to beat Washington this weekend, I got to go 9-3. I got to say that after this, BSU, Boise, not a state university, is the loss.
Then you're saying 10-2.
No, I got one more. Oh, you're right. Maybe I'm thinking about Utah State as the other potential loss.
Yeah, so unless you're saying we're going to lose back-to-back Boise State and Utah State, which is ridiculous,
I ran through my notes a little bit fast here.
Yeah, so you're saying 10 wins because I'm predicting this Washington win.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that one of these other games we lose. So I'm in a 9-3 place.
So we're just getting there. We're getting to the same destination, just taking
We're just
going to
get there
path.
Differently. Yep.
All right. Well, we are terrible at staying short. We're 54 minutes into recording. Me in a wind tunnel, you in your normal quiet office.
Give the people what they want, Adam. Give the people what they want.
We're still under an hour, though. We're under an hour. We're just slipping in there. Slipping in. So next week, Matt, we're going to, after four games, and most of the teams in college football will have played three, if not all at that point. I think all of them. I think it's time. It's our third of the season report card next week. We're going to hand out grades. We're going to do all that stuff. Talk about where we're at, what we think about so far, and especially about Zach Wilson and where we think he's headed. You kind of alluded to your feelings about you think it's a potentially special quarterback we've got here. So, I mean, two overtime wins against Power 5 teams, one on the road. It's pretty special.
And I really feel like this year he's shown a step change in his development.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that there's bright days ahead for Zach Wilson.
So my homework this week is to watch some film and get ready for it. Your homework is to watch First Blood and tell me it's not an awesome movie.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Lots of people have time for that. You have time for that. Make time, Matt. It's important.
Isn't it about time?
Oh, boy. Oy. Yeah, it is, actually. It is kind of about time. Check out... we didn't do a halftime show this week. Are we doing a halftime show? I love it when we plan these things live.
I have no idea where I'm going to be watching this game.
I don't either at this point. So maybe. How's that?
Yeah, it's a definite maybe, baby.
I'll do at least a couple of Insta shouts between now and Saturday. Forecast for Matt doing an Insta shout? Not likely.
Not looking good.
He's 0 for whatever so far this season. But you can check those out at BYU_RiceShout.
So can I just go ahead and admit publicly I don't know how to do an Instagram story, and that's what the problem here is?
Oh, my gosh, dude.
At that I've tried to do this. I've tried to do it unsuccessfully
just
twice.
Just freaking call me. You record a video.
Okay.
Just record a video. You talking. Make it under a minute because it cuts you off at a minute.
Okay.
So if you go over a minute.
Oh, that's why all right, I got you.
You record two videos.
Okay. All right, just on my phone, just straight up recording.
Correct, and then you press the little symbol of our stories, and it gives you the option to add, like you're adding a freaking photo to Instagram. And then you click on the video, and then it chops it into 15-second chunks for you. And then you hit next and post. There you go, I gave everybody a tutorial.
I just hit the plus sign, like I'm going to post.
Yeah.
And hit video. Can I just do that?
You can. You can do that. It's easier so you don't have to stop every 15 seconds to just record a video and upload it and have it chop it for you. But you can do it that way. Some people do. They're called idiots. But they do it.
Hey, what episode number are we recording right now?
385.
85. Okay, hold on one second. You say these are worth, I got 15 seconds?
Yeah, 15. What are you doing? Are you doing it right now?
I'm going to do it right now.
No, you're not going to do it live on the freaking podcast. Yeah. That's stupid. Yeah. I'm ending the podcast as a protest before you get a chance to do this. Thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. Subscribe on iTunes. Go to patreon.com/writeandshout and support the podcast. We will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.
Are you really recording one right now?
I am recording one right now. We're recording right now, episode 380. We're going to recap what happened last week and talk about how we can beat Washington this week.
385,
make sure you download, listen early and often, everybody.
385.
Okay, because I went way over 15 seconds, so it didn't.